This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. We're going to talk about everything from the United States Marines to trade jobs to the economy to how to make sure your town says Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays, all that and more coming up in the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I do have to tell you, though, I got a personal situation here and it's not good. And this is what it's like when you're not 24 anymore, you're 44. So let me just lay it out for you. I have until Sunday afternoon when Ob gets back to fix my back. Here's what happened. A couple months ago, I was lifting weights. Obviously not a huge weightlifter, but it's what I enjoy. So just nice and light, nothing majorly heavy. I lift weights. I lift weights and I walk. That's really what I do. I'm lifting weights. All of a sudden, my right forearm feels like it's on fire underneath the skin. Okay, so I heard something. No big deal. It wasn't the end of the world. Tendonitis. All right. What did I do? I had to take it easy. It took a month for this freaking thing to heal. A month. For a month, I could not do any pulling exercises. No pulling. And I couldn't really pick up any dumbbells. It was all just pushing. I could only push. So, could not lift for my back for a month. Solid month. Ob always tells me that I act as if I'm younger than I am. And she says, if you keep pushing it hard, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt yourself. Be careful. Finally, my tendonitis went away yesterday, and I could lift my back. I may have gotten a little over-exuberant, maybe put a little too much weight on there, maybe pushed it a little bit too hard. Back is wrecked. Absolutely wrecked. What, Chris? So I took a month off and then tried to max out. I wouldn't say max out. I wouldn't put it that way. I tried to do what I had been doing a month ago. I'll put it that way. I was not ready. Back is wrecked. And if I do not heal it by Sunday afternoon when Ob gets back, I'm going to have to hear, "I told you so." I know I'm going to have to hear it. I have 48 hours, basically. What, Chris? Just fake like I'm not hurt? That's going to be tough. I can't turn in certain directions. And now I'm at this thing where if I stand up or sit down or whatnot, I'm doing the thing. It's involuntary too, but it's kind of that someone sticking a knife in between your shoulder blades feel. Not great. It's not great. Not great. Jesse, I was thinking about that classic line from War in the Pacific, "Cigarettes are for women and children." And it got me thinking, the Marines say that. That comes from the with the old breed. The Marines back then they believed in smoking cigars. It was just a bunch of ruffians. When did the U.S. Marines became known as the hardcore, rough around the edges men that we think of? Did it start in World War I or is it older than that? It's older than that. Remember what prompted the creation of the United States Marines? The Marines just celebrated our 250th birthday. The Marines were created because they needed somebody on naval ships who could fight hand to hand and on land. Do you know why they call Marines leathernecks? Have you ever heard that term, leathernecks? Oh, leatherneck this, leatherneck. Do you know where that term came from? The Marines used to wear leather, I want to call it a strap, like a thick strap around their neck, because they sword fought and they didn't want to be slashed on the neck where all the valuable arteries, They wore leather on their necks because they were sword fighting on naval ships. And here's the thing about being hardcore. You can just decide you're going to be and then operate that way, and you will eventually turn out that way. The Marines decided they wanted to be hardcore. And because of the job they had, they kind of had to be hardcore. And so to this day, they're proud of it. When I joined the Marines, and I know you probably remember these, but the recruiting posters and the recruiters and things like that. Well, here's a good example. We just had an Air Force recruiter show up at my kid's school. My kid was talking to him. God forbid he might actually join, but my kid was talking to the Air Force recruiter. And my kid talked about what they talked about. And the Air Force recruiter, understandably, not at all insulting him, was explaining all the different opportunities he could get, not just in the Air Force, but post-Air Force. Hey, you want to do aircraft mechanic. When you graduate, or when you get out of the Air Force, you can make that. It was all about job opportunities, better yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome, right? Very, very, very awesome. The Marine Corps recruiter said, oh, no, it's going to suck. No, you're going to be hot a lot, cold a lot, miserable, tired, sweaty. I promise it's going to be brutal, but you'll be proud. And for young men, a lot of young men, especially rebellious types as I was, that's an appealing message. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. I didn't even walk into any other recruiting office. I'm like, yes, that's what I want. I want it to suck. I absolutely want to be miserable. It was about testing yourself, seeing if you could do it. They just have always been that way. Hey, Jesse. He's talking about Trump in the H-1B visas. Jesse, you missed an interview with the Secretary of the Treasury. He explained it better than President Trump. If it's so, it will work the way the Secretary said. They will bring eligible H-1B visa workers to train Americans in the workforce and then leave at a determined time. Okay. Yeah, that doesn't work like that. Let me explain. That may be what they want. No, we're going to bring in 20,000, 30,000, 50,000 people from China and India, and they're just going to train American workers, and then their visas will expire, and they will go back home. Understand that a large percentage of the people in the United States illegally are what is known as visa overstays. It doesn't work the way we think it works, okay? But we picture in our head, okay, you handed this person a visa and it expires 1 year from now. And then 1 year, ding, when the visa's done, that person goes immediately down to the airport with a plane ticket and hops on a plane and leaves. No, that person is here. That person very likely has established themselves in some way here. Maybe they have a job. Well, you know what? Their employer probably isn't going to, in a year, say, hey, Abu, show me your visa. Is the visa up? They just spent a year training this person, working. So the employer's not uniquely incentivized to get rid of that person at all. The employer wants them here. Maybe that person has a place to stay. Maybe they're renting an apartment. We'll make it about an apartment. Do you think the landlord is anxious to lose that monthly rent? You think that, hey, Abu, visa's up. I expect you out by tomorrow. I don't want another rent check from you. The kids are in school. You get a visa. Just because it expires doesn't mean you are cut off from anything in this country. Doesn't mean you are automatically hunted down and shuttled to the airport. People come here on temporary visas all the time and they never leave. There are stories of people 20, 30 years past their visa expiration, still here, still working, still paying rent. Now they have 87 kids. Their kids have kids. And of course, they're all American citizens because of our insane immigration policy. It's a bad, bad, bad thing. You can tell them it expires whenever you want, but telling someone it expires does not physically remove them from the country at all. They get here, they don't leave. And remember, we always have to understand that we're dealing with so many hostile forces known as Democrats inside of the country, where these blue areas, have decided that they are going to be places that protect people here illegally. It's so bonkers that we've accepted this is the way it is. California is our richest, most powerful state, and they will tell you till they're blue in the face that they're going to protect illegals. So you get a bunch of visa overstays. Where are they going to go? If they're even a little bit worried about being deported, they're going to hop on the 101 and over to California they go. It doesn't work that way. Just because they say we'll train them and then they'll leave, that doesn't work. That's never worked. All right. Getting involved in your town, in your community. Why does that matter? Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. Remember, we are live here. You can still email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, I moved from California to Texas almost 4 years ago. Best decision we ever made. Kept the family together. Neighboring town here has signs and social media posts telling everyone about their holiday events coming up. The holiday parade, the holiday tree lighting. My town, where I live, started putting up their signs. Christmas market, Christmas parade, Christmas tree lighting. My question is, besides this little public high five, what can I do to encourage my town to stay strong in the face of leftist pressure that made our neighboring town cave? I have told you this story before, but I know we have a bunch of new listeners, so I'm going to tell you this story again, just as a little heads up about how so many of these things work and how so many of these things happen. There was a town in my area that was going to have an Independence Day parade like so many towns do. Being the grand marshal of a parade is a position of honor. And the grand marshal of my blood red town's Independence Day parade was a militant anti-gun lesbian. A militant anti-gun communist lesbian. She was going to be the grand marshal of the parade. I found out about this because people in this town started blowing up my email, and I knew a couple guys, so they were texting me, and they said, Jesse, can you help? Can you help? What? So I decided to help, and I decided to do what I could to make sure this person was not the grand marshal of this town's parade. And in so doing, I and others started digging into how in the world can this even happen? How does this happen in a town? It's like 93% Republican. How do we end up with that? What the how? So started blowing up the phones at City Hall. The City Hall, the City Council people all washed their hands of it. Wasn't us. Wasn't us. We didn't make this call. Okay, who did? Check with the Parks Department. You got to call the Parks Department. Have you ever called your city's Parks Department? Are you involved in the Parks Department? Of course you're not. The phones of the Parks Department start blowing up. We're all calling the phone. Who did this? Remove this. How did this happen? Well, we didn't specifically do this. We had a committee. We came up with a committee. And the committee is the one who decided on the grand marshal. Okay, what? How does one get on the committee? Where was this committee? We put an announcement out on the city's website that we were forming a committee for the Independence Day parade, and people showed up. It was a volunteer thing, unpaid, temporary. People showed up, got on the committee, and the committee decided on the grand marshal. Long story short, why is there a militant lesbian leading a grand marshal, leading a parade? Why is your town eliminating the word Christmas and going with happy holidays? Because communists seize chokeholds of power. Politics is something you do because you feel it's important, right? That's why you're into it. You feel like it's important, and you do it because you have to. I've told you before, I love my job. Love my job. If we could snap our fingers overnight and right all the wrongs in this country, I would never talk about politics again. I would do a history show every single day. That's what I really truly love is history and food. That's what I love to discuss. I do politics because I feel like I have to, just like you. That is not how the communist does it. The communist is out there seeking out these chokeholds of power so they can force their agenda down your throat. They're not interested in what you want. They're not interested in what is popular. They are interested in moving the revolution forward. And because of this, they're on your town's website, and they know about the upcoming committee for the Independence Day parade next year, and they're all going to be lined up around the block to get on that committee while you're sitting at home watching the game, and I'm smoking a brisket, and we are completely clueless as to what's going on. And we find out next July 1st that it's a militant lesbian, and by then we're looking around saying, what? How? What? This can't. But it was already done. By the way, that lady ended up getting removed. We raised such a fuss that she did not end up being the Grand Marshal. But you understand, that was the example of how it works. Have you ever been to your town, large or small, red or blue? Have you ever been to the website? Have you ever looked at the announcements, the schedule of events? Have you ever, not trying to make you feel guilty, have you ever attended a single meeting of your town, the ones that are open to the public? Hey, Chris got involved in local politics. He sits on something I'm not going to discuss, but Chris got involved. Hey, Chris, how many citizens show up to these meetings? None. Nobody shows up. They're open to the public. You get five people in there, and it's five communists. Because they were on the town's website and they're going to show up. And if there's a vote for something, if there's a committee for something, if there's a commission for something, that vile little communist hates you, hates your values, hates that the town's blood red. And you know what they're going to get off on? They're going to get off on getting on that committee and doing a drag queen show for kids in the middle of your blood red city park. When you look around and wonder, how did this happen? Because they got involved and we were clueless. Get involved. Your community, not all presidential stuff. And make sure you switch your cell phone to Pure Talk. That's important. Stop funding corporations who hate your freaking guts. This is something we have finally woken up on the right. It took far too long, but we finally realized that our money, there is power there. There is power in our money. And forever, we just sat this out. We just let corporate America do whatever it wanted, and we constantly told them over and over again they could spit in our faces, and we will never fight back. No more. Verizon hates your guts. So does AT&T and T-Mobile. Go look at their, quote, charitable giving. Look what they do with the money you send them. Putrid stuff. Pure Talk, they're getting rescue dogs. One, they're rescuing them. Two, they're giving them to guys who struggle with PTSD. I love this freaking company, man. And save you a bunch of money. You can switch during the break. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday, churning through all these questions here. So before I get back to the questions, remember that the communist world of make-believe, it is created. They create a world of make-believe that the Democrat in your life lives in. Your liberal Aunt Peggy is angry and bitter and fearful and chewing on Xanax all day long, because she lives in a world that is not real, that is created for her by Democrat politicians and their people in the media. And they understand that if she is ever calm, happy, if she can ever see the truth, that they may lose her. So they keep her in this perpetual state of misery. This is a United States senator. Listen to this.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I am not, in this sense,
What a fool any of us would be to be planning to run in an election that may not happen. And I'm serious about that. All of our energy right now, all of our energy has to be on this project of saving our democracy. None of us should presume that there's going to be, again, a free and fair election where any Democrat has a shot to win in 2028.
Gavin, they all say it. Gavin Newsom's probably the leading Democrat right now, has said it multiple times. We played it for you on the show. Trump isn't going to leave. There isn't even going to be an election. They all know that's ridiculous and an outright lie. But they also need your liberal Aunt Peggy afraid. They need her miserable. They need her believing gigantic lie after gigantic lie because it keeps her stupid. It keeps her loyal. It keeps her exactly where they want her. Jesse, I like the secret club idea. It wouldn't be a headquarters or a clubhouse. I think lair would be more appropriate. Would there be a secret handshake? I really like the idea of a lair. I like it that it's a lair. And I like the idea of it being a nuclear bunker of some kind, a nuclear silo. We are going to need $1 million, so we're going to need a donor. We need a wealthy benefactor. Chris, you've got to know somebody. We've got what? You can share some of the family gold, whatever it may be. We need a wealthy benefactor because we have to purchase our nuclear bunker. What? No, you're not allowed in. I need you to help me raise funds, though. No, you're still not allowed in. I can't change that. A secret handshake will happen. Again, I'm just not comfortable telling you what it's going to be yet. Jesse, I got to fly down to Austin. I got to fly down to Austin, Texas last week. You're right about the food down there. It's just amazing. Now I'm back home. I'm getting hungry for more brisket. Can you remind me of the temperature and length of time you cook it? I am a bit of a pit master with my pellet smoker. I cook my brisket at 200 degrees. I have never overcooked it because it's not really possible, well, at least that I've seen so far, to overcook it at 200 degrees. I have talked to a guy one time, though. I've never done this before. I talked to a guy one time who cooked his for 72 hours. I've never done that. I mean, I'm sure it was delicious. I can't say. But I have done mine for 13, 14 hours. In my opinion, that wasn't the best one I ever did. I've done them for 18 hours. That might have been the best one. The last time I did it for 24 hours, but at 200 degrees, just make sure it's low. At 200 degrees, if you have it done, if you bought yourself a good brisket, it's not going to go bad, right? It's not going to go bad. And I'm just joking, obviously, about being a pitmaster. I don't know the first thing about any of this stuff, but a brisket with some fat on it, remember, you're going to have some fat on it because that's going to be all your juice and flavor that drips through there. A brisket with some fat on it, unless you're roasting the friggin' thing at 300 degrees or something like that, you're not going to overcook it. Low and slow, just keep the pellets coming. Jesse, the three amendments ratified at the beginning of the 20th century, 16, 17, and 19, clearly changed the direction of the USA. If you could repeal one, which one would it be and why? Oh, the 19th. What, Chris? I know I'm right. Letting women vote has been a total disaster for the United States of America. It has been. Everyone knows it's true. Women listening know it's true. It's been a total disaster for the country. Politics became more emotional. As soon as we started allowing women to vote, we started mixing the most poisonous thing in the world into our politics, and that's something called empathy. Now, you can't deport people, you can't cut off anyone's entitlement, you can't do this, you can't do that, because it would be, what? Mean. It has been a disaster for the country. It was a much better country when we only allowed property-owning males to vote in elections. And I should note, for any woman who's freaking out right now and typing me up an email, by the way, you're welcome to email me all your hates. Totally fine. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Totally fine. Your hate is more than welcome here. It should be noted that votes were family votes back in the day. Contrary to what your idiot social studies teacher taught you in school, Women were never these horribly oppressed minorities without any rights in the United States of America. That is not a world that actually existed at all. From our very first days, our Christian founders of this country, the pilgrims who got here, were tight-knit families. The women adored their men. The men adored their wives. They were not walking around in chains, getting slapped around all day long. That world never existed in the United States of America at all, and we had a much better country for it. Now, the 17th has been terrible, too. You could make a good argument for the 17th. In case you don't know, the 17th Amendment was the one that made senators, United States senators, it made them elected by the people of their state. Now, they can be confusing. Why is that a bad thing? Well, previously, senators were selected by the state legislatures of the individual states. So Texas's senators, it wouldn't be up for some popular vote. The legislature would choose the senator. The result of that was senators didn't become these Washington, D.C. swamp figures as easily. They were much more representatives of the state from which they came. So you would have a member of the House of Representatives. His job is to represent the people of his district. Today, that's 500,000, 600,000, depending on the district. His job is to be their representative in Washington, D.C. Ideally, your senator, my senator, should work really on behalf of your state at all times. But as soon as we diverted from that, now they became swamp creatures. And the United States Senate is where so many things go to die. And I'm sorry, I'm still extremely upset about them throwing in a carve-out for themselves in the latest CR. The United States Senate did this, and I've been told that it was Lindsey Graham. Surprise, surprise. The United States Senate did this. They threw in this provision that allowed them to sue the FBI when the FBI spied on them. But they didn't ever put a carve-out in for you. When the FBI was hunting down all those January Sixers, they didn't even mention a carve out. Didn't even mention giving those people the options to sue. When Donald Trump was getting raided and arrested and everything else, no carve out for Donald Trump. But the second a senator had his phone tapped, the second the FBI started looking at his text messages, he immediately starts to write it into law that allows him to get rich off of suing the FBI. You scumbags. You're supposed to work for us. You're supposed to at least pretend to care about us over there lining your own freaking pockets. Never even occurred to one of you dirtballs to give us a carve-out. Man, I'm still chapped about the whole thing. I bet you it was Lindsey Graham, too. That's such a Lindsey Graham thing to do. Now, let me talk to you about preborn. Saving a life. Now that I'm all heated, I need to focus on something wonderful. Picture this. This young woman, scared and confused. She's pregnant. She's decided, I'm going to abort this baby. I don't want it. I'm going to abort it. I'm going to kill my baby. Instead, preborn reaches out to her and says, hey, you want to come in for an ultrasound? No charge. She lays down, gets her ultrasound. Picture the look on her face when she hears that heartbeat. You know that they choose life almost every time when you give them an ultrasound. The heart is beating. And she's a mom. And she knows it. What is that moment like? That's what preborn does every single day. You have saved thousands of lives by giving to preborn. It's tax deductible. It's the end of the year. You're going to want that soon. Give them a grand if you got it. Give them $28. Pays for the ultrasound. Give them $5. Give them $50,000. Give. It goes to babies. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is that Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show, cruising into a weekend. Yes. I am still childless and wifeless. I am a single bachelor, which means I have, 48 more hours till Ob and the kids get back to eat Totino's party pizzas. I am going to go to Waffle House tomorrow morning, Chris. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go down to Waffle House and I'm just going to do all the, what? Why not tonight? You bring up a very good point. You know what people don't know about Waffle House? Their cheeseburgers are delicious. Nobody knows about Waffle House cheeseburgers. Obviously nothing fancy. It's Waffle House cheeseburger. Make sure you get some of the Waffle House mayo. It's Chipotle mayo, but they don't call it that. It's Waffle House mayo. What, Chris? What? Yeah, it doesn't matter what it's called. You're exactly right. The name is not important. Just get some of it. You're going to need some extra napkins. There's going to be some grease there. Feel free to add some bacon on it. You know what, Chris? I might go tonight. I actually might. Now I just talk myself into it. I have 48 more hours to treat my body like a garbage disposal before Ob comes home and says, what did you eat while I was gone? And I'll be all grapes and salads and stuff. I ate so many grapes. Oh, that reminds me. Crap. We have grapes in the fridge. I need to put a reminder in my phone to throw some away before she gets home. If she shows, well, listen, if she shows up and they're all still there, she's going to know. What? Does she listen to the show? Sometimes. There's been trouble before when I've had these little rants and she'll be in the car with the kids, taking them to practice. The way I see it right now, she's out of town with her family. She's not listening right now, right? What, Chris? She's not with her handler, Chris. She's not a honeypot, okay? At least I don't think. But maybe her handler's a big fan of the show, too, which I wouldn't blame him. I certainly wouldn't blame him at all. Did you hear what J.D. Vance said?
Privately, we were having conversations all the time. And frankly, privately, the Democrats would recognize the position of their far left was crazy. But they all feel a little bit like they're being held hostage by their far left. You said it very well. Chuck Schumer, this probably ended his career. And he was the person who was fighting more than anybody to keep the government shut down. So the far left.
Democrat Senator, per Puck News, by the way, this is their breaking. Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer isn't expected to seek re-election in 2028. Chuck Schumer ends his career. Now, this can be very good and it can be very bad. So I'll tell you a thought I had before we try to knock out another email or two and go. So I'll tell you a thought I had. I thought about not even having this conversation with you because it's Friday, but let me just give it to you. The old, more moderate Democrats are being run out of their party, or they're just having to succumb and pretend to be communists. Like Chuck Schumer, that's what he's been doing, but pretending to be a communist. So what does this mean? This means the Democrat Party is going to turn more and more evil, more and more communist. That can be hugely great or hugely terrifying and terrible. And you know what will determine it? If the Democrat Party continues to become communist, there is a chance they will pull completely away from normal Americans and that they will have a very difficult time winning national elections. There's a chance their swing to the left costs them large amounts of political power. But here is my fear. Just going to give it to you. There are really only two major political parties, Democrats and Republicans. People, especially the normies, they want choices. They like to have a choice. They don't want to feel like they're bound to one party or the other. And people, many times, will vote against a particular party because they're angry about something. Like right now, the economy. People are mad at Republicans. They're blaming Republicans. So does the Democrat Party shifting to the left, does it really put them on the outs with Americans? Or does it have the effect of dragging more of America to the left when Americans get angry at Republicans and choose to take it out on them at the voting booth? It's a concern, a serious concern. Let's pray it puts them in the wilderness, by the way. This is, you know what it is right now? It's Tunnel to Towers' season of hope. Did you know that? This is the time of year Tunnel to Towers steps up, and they're giving people smart homes, these catastrophically injured veterans or first responders, building them smart homes so they can live a more independent life, paying off mortgages for widows and orphans. The holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, the holiday season is brutal for people who have lost someone, especially when you lose someone unexpectedly. This is actually the hardest time of year. Tunnel to Towers is out there making it a little bit better. And they do this with your $11 a month. T, the number 2, T.org is where you go to give. T2T.org. All right? 11 bucks a month. Let's do it.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Jesse, before the government shut down, there was a lot of big talk coming from the right about using it as their rare window to doge, to cut unnecessary government bloat. Has anything at all happened in that regards? No, not really. Little snippet here, little snippet there. Bunch of idle threats. Frankly, I'm disappointed. Jesse, why did you choose to run for U.S. representative in Arizona instead of running for city or county office or even state legislature? Welcome back from your long weekend. Because I thought I was going to go to Washington, D.C. and stop Barack Obama from destroying the country. I had these grand plans. I wasn't interested in fixing the city council. I wanted to, of course, save the whole country, which I know is ridiculous and naive, but that's why I wanted it. Jesse, so you got invited to an exclusive event. Oh, this is about that event. I got invited. The Radio Hall of Fame and then the private VIP party afterwards. I was not going for me. Someone I knew, my boss is getting into the Hall of Fame. The guy says, so you got invited to an exclusive event dressed like a hobo. I wasn't dressed like a hobo. I just didn't have a suit on like everyone else. Went out to an elitist dinner with your elitist friends so you didn't have to eat with the peasants. I went and got a steak with Clay. Got invited to an even more elitist after party. Decided it wasn't elitist enough for you and peaced out after a few minutes without telling anyone. Must be good to be king. This is very similar to what Ob said. When Ob found out about what I wore, that I didn't eat at the banquet, and that I Irish goodbye to everybody at the event afterwards, I got a lot of the, you know, you're not in charge of everything, and you can't just do whatever you want to do. I got a lot of that from Ob, but I feel like she's wrong. I feel like I am in charge of everything, and I can do what I want to do, especially when you Irish goodbye and don't tell everybody you're leaving. Go enjoy your weekend. Put your phone down. I'll see you Monday. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.